I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. First reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. Salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 12, and it's headed Proclaiming Christ Crucified. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish. But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have been crucified. They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. Here ends the readings.
I thank you, dear Lord, for this moment. A moment that you have allowed us to be here and to fellowship with you and with one another. A time for reflection and a time for re-evaluation, to evaluate who we are in your plan, dear Lord. And we thank you for the guidance of your Holy Spirit who will lead us through, continue to bless us and continue to give us that yearning for your word, for that peace that surpasses all understanding. We thank you, dear Lord, for my life. I thank you for your calling to me and my family. And I thank you, dear Lord, for this day and for this opportunity. I pray, dear Lord, that you will be with us and guide us in our reflection this morning. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord. Our reflection, the salt of the earth and the light of the world. During the time of the early missionaries in Fiji, around the early 1900s, no issue were more keenly debated both in the mission staff of Fiji and on the mission board? And should the emphasis be placed on the schools or other institutions? Did these yields result in winning converts? Reverend Rex Stedman told of a story of an Indian lad. And I took it from the overseas mission of the Australian Methodist Church in Volume 3. And during that time, Fiji was under the Australian Methodist Church. And it reads, one of the incidents quoted by Stedman concerning the importance of mission education related to the conversion of the Indian lad sent by his parents from Madhuwata, Vunulevu. This is another, the other bigger island next to the main island, Vitilevu, with strict instructions that he must not read the Bible, nor attend church services while attending the mission school. In class one day, while he was being taught by Miss Weston, a New Zealand teacher who had begun only the previous year but was to continue teaching in the mission for 40 years, this lad asked her why she had left home and country to teach in Fiji for a smaller salary than she had received in New Zealand. And she told him that it was because of her love for Jesus and her desire that others might know him as their Savior. He asked for a copy of the New Testament, but was reminded by Stedman of his father's prohibition. He persisted with his request and, finishing his reading in a few days, told Miss Weston that he had found the secret. Not long afterwards, he told Stedman that he wanted to be baptized as a Christian. But again, he was reminded of his parents' stern injunction. When he went home in the vacation, his father was furious and disowned him. The lad did not return to school for some months. When he returned, he asked to be publicly baptized. Later, he became a mission teacher before being appointed as an inspector in the government school. Years afterwards, he was reconciled to his family. Mission education had led to his conversion. And that was taken from the overseas mission of the Australian Methodist Church. It's quite an interesting read. And challenged me in some ways as in a place that is, can openly share the word of God without a lot of barriers. And we live in a world where our values are determined or measured by what we do rather than who you are or who I am in God's eyes. And I believe this is what drives us today. And our actions and our attitudes are driven by what we do. And that is how most people think, based on what we do. The society we live in has given us a set of guidance and rules which makes us think of ourselves according to how we look like and our abilities and so forth. And I believe that is where our problem lies as people called by God, when we identify ourselves by what we do instead of who God created us to be. After a number of years as a lay pastor of the Fijian congregation here at Wesley, and with it came a lot of positions in the parish, in the Fiji Synod, parish council, parish steward, Waswasi rep, the Tauiwi rep, strategy and stationing, Tamaradaka treasurer, strategy committee, steward, and so forth. Looking back, I can say that I have accomplished a lot of things. It was my position as a lay leader, as a rep, to other committees, as a parish steward and so forth, that played a part in influencing my attitudes and actions. I believe that my attitude and actions at that time were driven by what I do and what we accomplished together as a congregation. You see, I was in a position, and with it comes the responsibility. Whether it be in the parish, the Fiji Synod, it was work to be done. It is what I did at that time, and the achievements we gained, it gave me that satisfaction, and the sense of accomplishment. But looking back, even though I can say that I've gained a lot of experience, a lot of knowledge in the terms of God's ministry, in Aotearoa, the number of people I met along the way, the places I traveled, importantly, how God molded me and my family and helped me to take a step further from where I first started. But I felt that I could have done more. I had understood who I really was in God's great plan, or to take it into heart so it can be my driving force rather than driven by other things in life. After the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus addressed his disciples in Matthew chapter 5 on their roles in this world, a role that is rooted in the very own God's own creation. From the very beginning, when God created man in his own image, he designed us to fulfill his will and his will alone. Jesus gave his disciples the reasons for their existence, the reasons for our existence in this world and being part of God's ministry on this earth. They are the salt and they are the light in the world. And Jesus uses an analogy to describe mortal men like you and I, living amongst a society that needs the saving grace of God. Mortal men that can stand up against challenges, powered through God through Jesus Christ. And he describes them as salt and as light in this world. Not an experiment, but with guaranteed outcome. A guaranteed outcome that is the salvation of mankind, if received. Now, understanding the roles described by Jesus gives the disciples something to ponder on. This role is not easy to play. A role that requires sacrifice and selflessness. The role is not given to them by men, but by God. A role that requires a lot from us. They are to be salt and light in the world. And Jesus uses this analogy, something common, something important, to describe their roles. As we all know, salt is important, as we have heard in the lives of the Hebrews. Uses for curing meat and food, preserving food, for healing purposes, disinfectant, for food seasoning, importantly in their ceremonial rituals. They use salt. Even for babies, when they were born, the babies were rubbed with salt. And that is a ritual, and there's a reason why. And Jesus uses this analogy, a basic thing that they understood at that time. Both are important and requires men and women of strong faith. I'm not only talking about going out into remote places where Christians are persecuted, or war-torn places that needs people to bring peace to its occupants. I'm talking about our everyday duty as Christian parents, as Christian brothers and sisters, or Christian teachers, or Christian barristers, or Christian lawyers, or Christian ministers, or Christian stewards, or Christian parishioners, and whatever roles we play in this society. And that, I believe, God has put us here to fulfill his will. These are places where we are to remain salt and light to the world, to bring justice to the poor and needy, to look after the elderly, the downtrodden, to fight for injustice and to speak the truth. Most of us have been in this game for a long time. I've been in this game for a long time, as I could remember, since I was a little child. I grew up in a Christian family. My dad was a steward. My dad was a lay pastor of the congregation that I belonged to. I attended a lot of committees, a lot of meetings. I was a youth leader, I was a youth mentor. But I felt that there was something more to just being in that position. Most of us has been here for a while, and times we let our guards down, and with that comes complacency. Resting on our laurels, so to speak. No longer walking in the footsteps of Christ, and no longer being the beacon of life or a shoulder to cry on. No longer the voice for the unfortunate or a visitor to the sick or the visitor to those who are in jail. No longer a helping hand to those who require our help. We turn a blind eye to injustice, water down our gospel, or believing in the gospel but lives in a different way or form, does not change, and so forth. The Bible describes this situation as salt losing its saltiness, or light, or a lamp under the bowl. Salt can lose its saltiness when diluted with water. So for the Christian, the salt of the earth, to lose our degree of saltiness, the gospel would have to be diluted in our life, not protecting the truth of the gospel. A lamp under a bowl is to allow darkness to take over the room and not doing the right thing of God. And Jesus reminds me again this morning that there is no place for complacency in his ministry. We are to be alert at all times, to be aware of the signs of times, and never put our guards down. To immerse ourselves in God's word and never cease praying. The sources of two great elements are from God, and in him are both light, the sources of light and salt. At that time, in our Bible reading, the disciples were just a few. There were just a few of them, and there were millions of people in the world. A few grains of salt for the whole earth, a ray of light for the whole earth. That is a question we should be asking ourselves this morning. Who am I in God's greater plan? I guess there are signs that are telling us that the salt, for me, I can say that sometimes I lose my saltiness. And losing its saltiness or that light, we are starting to put it under the bowl. And time is running out. We need to get back on our own 2 feet and do the right and honorable thing for God. Perhaps I will make a suggestion here. There is a lesson here. When you and I are starting to feel complacent or comfortable in our pews, in our places of calling where we're in his ministry or in the society that we live in or work in, we need to reevaluate our lives as Christians in this society and in this world. Where to start? I suggest we start back where it all started from God, our Creator. The lesson is knowing who you are in God's great plan. You and I are so unique. We are so important in fulfilling God's will, and in understanding that puts us back in our position as God's creation, as created beings in his image. In our gospel reading according to Matthew, Jesus addressed the underlying problem that we face each and every day as we commit ourselves to his calling. He answered some of our biggest questions. What am I in God's plan? Who am I in his plan? And hearing God's answer to that should give us confidence to continue in our life journey in his ministry. In order to understand his will in my life, recommitting myself to God's ministry and his calling to me, firstly, I need to understand who I am in his plan. More important than what I do in my life or in my lifetime. That is important to know. I believe understanding that concept will give us a whole new perspective of life, a reason to live and to continue in his ministry, a whole new purpose, a whole new meaning as a Christian in a society that needs the salvation and God's peace. According to Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I believe that once we understand who we are, it will free us from bondage, no longer a complacent Christian, but one that is totally focused, fulfilling the roles as Christ ambassadors in our society and without limit or hesitation. We'll go in confidence, and I believe this is key to unlocking that unique workmanship that God created us of God in our lives and unleashing His power through His Son, Jesus Christ, to all who open their hearts to receive Him. And this is key to keeping His gospel, not watered down, but fulfilling His will and to be truthful to Him. You and I are children of God. You and I are children of God, and this is the very essence of who we are. How important it is to understand that this will determine our values. This will determine who you are and who am I am in the position that I hold, in the church, in the society, as salt and light of this world. You and I are the channel of God's healing to others. You and I are the channel of God's peace and love to others. God needs you and needs me more than anything today. In Paul's letter to the Corinthians, a Bible reading this morning, Paul addresses the church members whom he knew so well. Corinth, being a big port city, big temples, economic center, and he spent 1.5 years there, according to Acts chapter 18. And he spread the gospel of God there, then he moved on. And then later on he heard that the people or the Christians in Corinth is starting to fall into all kinds of problems. And his letter, he addresses this and gives his resolution through the gospel. He described the problem and then he tells them what to do through the gospel. There was division in the church instead of community, of being people centered around Jesus Christ. He talks about the wisdom of man trying to overtake God's wisdom in his likeness, but at times have died spiritually and walking in that spiritual death. There is something wrong that is missing in their lives. And that void needs to be filled. If there is death within myself or within us, and no matter how hard we try, there is nothing going to bring us back to life, to that intimate relationship with God, but through Jesus Christ alone. But we need that Spirit of God in us to take us back to that place. Remember Genesis? When Adam walked and Eve would walk with God in the garden. I guess that is the place where God wants to take us back to. To have that intimate relationship, if you say yes, if you recommit ourselves, if we reevaluate ourselves, our life journey as being Christians and ambassadors of Christ, not only in the church, not only in our families, but in the society that we live in. Paul says, and if God's dwelling in us, that His light will shine through us. In 1 Corinthians 4:6, it says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Verse 9 to 16, Paul is saying that we have the Spirit of God and have the ability to discern spiritual things. We can do greater and bigger things through God. Natural man cannot do that. It is through His Word and trusting in Him He reveals Himself more and more in a very powerful way. He reveals His power to those that love Him. Those who put their hands up and say, yes, here I am, Lord. Use me. And when we walk with Him in spirit rather than natural man, we will continue to experience that greatness. It is given to us exceedingly as He promised. Those that are woken to His Spirit will receive that power. Remember, natural men are walking in darkness. natural people think that what we do as Christians are foolishness. According to 1 Corinthians 1:18, it reads, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." That should not dampen our spirit, but should encourage us to move forward. The church needs you and I today. Our family needs us today. Our committees need you and I today. Our workmate needs us today to spread that message of love and bring salvation. I need to know you more, Lord. I want to know you more. I want to know you deeper. I want to know everything about you. I need to know more and show me more, dear Lord. Take me deeper. Take me deeper into your wisdom and into our relationship. It all starts in our understanding of who we are in God's plan. We are His children, and God loves you and I. He is not going to leave us behind, but His Spirit is with us, and He needs us today. There is no darkness out there but light. To be light and salt in this place, first of all, need to understand where we are in Him. All things He wants to reveal to you and I. You won't see that in natural people, in natural men. He wants to reveal Himself to those that love Him, to those who pursue Him diligently and seek Him, as He has many, many gifts for those who want to say, "Yes, here I am, Lord." The Spirit will empower you and will give you the strength to move forward. For God has not forsaken us, and the Holy Spirit is with us. It is my prayer that God will give us that insight this morning to reevaluate my life and our life as we journey through in His God's ministry. And may God bless you all on this beautiful, lovely, sunny morning. Amen.